Welcome to the Conscious Classroom podcast, where we're exploring tools and perspectives that support educators and anyone who works with teams to create more conscious, supportive, and enriching learning environments. I'm your host, Amy Edelstein, and I'll be sharing transformative insights and easy-to-implement classroom supports that are all drawn from mindful awareness and systems thinking. The themes we'll discuss are designed to improve your own joy and fulfillment in your work and increase your impact on the world we share. Let's get on with this next episode. Hello, welcome to the Conscious Classroom. My name is Amy Edelstein. Today is part of the Restorative Teachers series. We're going to talk about mindful journaling for teachers, not just what you can do in your class. It's a subject that's near and dear to my heart. I have loved to write ever since I was at least 7 years old or 8 years old. And writing was always to me a place where I could work out, question, explore, express, and try out different ideas that I wasn't so sure about, but I allowed them to bubble forth from within me. And it created a means and method of dialogue with myself or to myself through the means of the written word and paper that allowed so many tension knots and internal knots and external knots to unfold and let them unwind themselves. We're going to do some mindful journaling today, so hope you have a piece of paper and a pen nearby, and when we get to those moments, hit the pause button, allow yourself to flow, allow yourself to connect. Allow yourself to write for the love of writing. Writing is such a huge part of learning. It helps us articulate and form what we sense into ideas that we can communicate with one another. In this age of texting and chatting, the written word is evolving, really. There's a whole new language and lexicon. It's a whole new spelling. But long-form written word really helps us connect with something different. It allows us to slow down. It allows us to take time to pause before the ideas form. And it allows us to slow down the pace of life, which has become so relentless. I think about the years that I lived in North India, mostly in small villages in the high Himalayan mountains, where the villages were small, people worked hard. They were farmers or shepherds or weavers. Although they worked hard, they seemed to have much more time to be with each other and to be with themselves than we seem to do in our culture. That our forms of communication, whether it's texts or emails, have taken over the 24-hour cycle. We no longer stop when the sun goes down and we can't see anymore to work. We no longer stop when our body is wearied and our muscles need a rest. And we no longer stop when we need to prepare food. We keep going, keep consuming language, information, requests. As teachers, also, we feel that we have to respond because we're aware that connecting with whoever it is on the other end can be so very important. So the idea of slowing down, of slow journaling, of allowing the thoughts to emerge and come forward, even if they're shy thoughts and thoughts that are hiding insights, intimations, the quiet murmurings of our heart. When we do a mindful journaling practice, we use prompts or we simply use the space to let our inner selves speak to us. And we slow down so that we have the time to listen. What are the instructions for mindful journaling that make it mindful or contemplative rather than simply journaling? There is a specific posture and orientation, just like there is with our sitting. Just sitting and letting the mind go with no particular direction or aspiration or intention is not the same as mindful sitting. Mindful walking with that intention to be very free of an agenda and very connected with our movement through space, our contact with the earth, like Henry David Thoreau's sauntering. Even though you saunter without a purpose or an end, you saunter with that intent to free the mind of its constraints and free the heart to speak to you. In mindful journaling, we allow what's hidden to reveal itself to us. We allow the murmurings of our heart and the aspirations of ourselves to speak to us through our own writing. The instructions for mindful journaling are simple. You take the prompt or a question that you're sitting with. You put pen to paper, and then you keep writing. Maybe you pause to reflect, to allow a different thought to come. In that pause is an invitation, is a patient waiting. In mindful journaling, we let go of the desire to express ourselves perfectly, to get the perfect word, the perfect sentence construction, the acceptable thought, or even the right answer to something that we're considering and want to resolve. In mindful journaling, you allow your thoughts to meander. You allow them to ebb and flow back and forth from insight into rest, from pause back to idea. You allow your writing to turn into shapes or doodles if there are no words to express. You allow your contemplation to flow into different subjects, ideas, relationships, memories. Maybe worries piggyback along or goals. With mindful journaling, you allow that contemplative eye to embrace everything that you are unearthing. Simply as it is, not for any purpose in and of itself. The practice of contemplative writing has a purpose, and that purpose is to allow us to slow down and connect with our deeper intentions and our higher aspirations. And sometimes we have to wade through the murk and the shallows. We have to wade through the stagnant waters to get to the clear springs. The intention of this contemplative writing is to allow those clear springs to show themselves, reveal themselves, and it allows us to trust that even if we are wading through the tepid and dank waters of our concerns and worries and fears, that river's edge is being fed by that which is pure. The reason why I wanted to include this in our Conscious Classroom Restorative Teachers series is because writing is something that, as educators, we often ask our students to do, even in mathematics or science. Their explanations of how we solve problems or lab observations. And sometimes we don't get the opportunity to express ourselves as teachers. And I feel that self-expression, those outlets, that ability to find our own voice and to articulate what we care about is essential to our own rejuvenation and renewal from the daily demands of being there for others and teaching others. So let's get down to it, and we'll do some practice right now. Okay, let's give it a shot. This journal prompt is an easy one to work with. The prompt is, when I go outside, I dot, dot, dot. So contemplate. Take a sip of water. Take your favorite pen or pencil and your journal. Press pause and write. And allow that sentence stem to draw from the richness of yourself, the richness of your soul, the richness of your being, and work with it. We'll be back. Great, welcome back. Notice what's happening in you. When you're teaching your students and asking them to write, and they get that concentrated look on their face, they get quiet. Some of them put their heads down. Some of them chew the end of their pencil. They're allowing themselves to access a different sensitivity, a different part of themselves, that part that seems to draw language from nowhere, that draws out ideas and substance and content from the amorphous pool of knowing, sensing, memory, and vision. When you practice contemplative journaling on your own, you let yourself go into that space. And it's a very gentle and delicate and sensitive place. So as you start becoming refamiliarizing yourself with it, when you're giving those writing prompts to students or getting them to work on an essay, you'll be more familiar with the qualities that you want to bring into the room. The qualities of waiting and allowing, the qualities of trusting oneself to have something important to say, the quality of validating yourself. These are really important qualities to reinforce with your students. They don't automatically have them. And there's so much competitiveness and insecurity and self-doubt and criticism, that when you ask students to write, you want to draw from your own experience to create a very supportive environment, in an environment where they can flourish and bring forward their own ideas. Now let's try a different type of prompt, which is one where there's a conundrum. I feel perplexed by is your prompt, or I feel concerned about is your prompt. Allow yourself to write and get the worries out. Allow yourself to consider that problem from different perspectives. Try to take someone else's shoes. Maybe it's your own shoes from the future, or somebody else involved in the issue. Pause as you write. What are positives in this situation that's confusing or perplexing that you haven't wanted to see? Even if they're much smaller, what are some positive outcomes that can come? Now, this is not to whitewash. This is not to deny hurt and harm. This is not to wipe away anyone's challenges. But it is important that we also keep looking for all aspects. And again, this is not to condone or excuse even the most horrific situations. You know, as the Dalai Lama has said at different points, and he speaks with deep pain about the genocide of his people, how 1 million were killed, how the monasteries were destroyed, how great revered masters were tortured. But at other times, he will talk about how, because of that, it was time also for Tibet to open up to the world and for its culture to be influenced by Western science, and for Western science to be influenced by its culture. And even though it's a small positive, and millions of people in the West have been influenced by his personhood and his kindness and his compassion and his forgiveness, he's authentically able to see both without in any way reducing or minimizing the devastation, and also being willing to see some unexpected positives, new friendships and collaborations and influences that wouldn't have happened otherwise. So pause here, take a sip of water. This one might be harder. Pause the audio and let yourself write, I feel perplexed by, or I feel concerned about, and write everything you can about it. Let it go, let it flow, express all of the different concerns, extrapolating out, express as many different points of view as you can, and allow yourself to open up to even a tiny glimmer of positivity or growth and compassion that can come out of even the most horrific of situations. So take a pause now in the audio, do your writing, and we'll come back. That's great. Welcome back. Reflect on how it went. What are you feeling now? What emotions do you have? What sensations do you have? Did you hate this? Were you resistant? Did you think that the instructions were naive? We're doing our best to cultivate our own empathy towards ourselves and towards the students we teach. We're not trying to cultivate platitudes or superficiality. We are trying to cultivate a multidimensional engagement with life and an ability to see paradoxical or contradictory experiences at the same time. Again, this will help bring empathy for our students, understanding for those who are in very challenging situations or painful situations, who also feel conflicted emotions. This is not a prompt I encourage you to do all of the time, but in times where we're really tied up with issues and conundrums, we do want to be able to see beyond them. And in our final prompts, I'd like you to allow yourself to rejuvenate and restore with this prompt. My heart fills up when, and complete the sentence stem. Or I care about. Allow yourself to be free. Allow yourself to be open. Allow yourself to range far and go close. Allow yourself to consider aspects of your life, your family, your work, the world. My heart fills up when, and complete the sentence. Over and over, let your thoughts flow and allow yourself to be in dialogue with your own deeper self. Be in dialogue with that which you care about. Be in dialogue with that which is most important to you. You can pause the audio, have a drink of water, and let yourself flow. Welcome back. A reminder about why we do mindful journaling for ourselves. It's an easy restoration tool. It's an easy practice that we can do. We're paying attention without judgment. We're allowing ourselves to feel what we feel. And we're allowing ourselves to sink beneath the surface layer of experience, beneath the flotsam and jetsam on the top of the river of our minds, and to really access those currents of our heart, those currents of the self that are there if we pause and turn our ear inward. It's part of our Restorative Teachers series, helping you restore just as you are. But of course, our ability to be free with our writing, to express ourselves, to allow ourselves to be creative, innovative, visionary, and impactful in what we write and say and do, we'll create that environment for our students. It will invite our students to do the same, whether we're teaching physics or Algebra 2, or Geometry, or English, or History. The point is to become more and more conscious ourselves, so we can create more and more conscious classrooms. And so our students can become more and more conscious, which goes hand in hand with being more and more caring. That ability to explore, inquire, and be curious goes together with a delicacy, a gentleness, and a compassion for ourselves and others. And that compassion means that we care simply because that's our groundwater. We care about other beings. We care that we create a world where we all coexist in harmony. So thank you again for tuning in to the Conscious Classroom. Please leave a review. It helps other teachers find the podcast, get inspired, explore, and be celebrants of life, enjoy life. Stay healthy, be well. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to The Conscious Classroom. I'm your host, Amy Edelstein. Please check out the show notes on innerstrengthfoundation.net for links and more information. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with a friend and pass the love on. See you next time.